Well, folks, here we are, just about ready to usher in a new year. Now, for some of us, we're sitting back and we're looking over 2025, and we're sitting there thinking, man, I'll tell you one thing, this was a great year. It was a banner year in my life, in my family, in my job, whatever the case may be. But for others, you may be looking over this past year thinking, man, I am glad this was over. 2025 was a tough year. Well, regardless of whether or not it was one of the best years you've ever had or whether it was one of the worst you've ever had, the Lord has some instruction for us as we begin a new year today. They're words of encouragement. Grab your Bible. We're going to be looking at passages that come out of Jeremiah chapter 29. I'll see you in just a minute. Folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, the last Wednesday Bible study of the year 2025, and we're so glad that you have chosen to join us for this time together around the Word of God. I was sitting there talking as we started our broadcast today about the fact that, you know, for some, 2025 was a really good year. You know, you made some strides in whatever areas it may be that that are coming to your mind or coming to your heart. But then there are others that sit back and look at 2025 and say, man, I am glad that this year is ending. But as we stand at the threshold of a new year, it's time for us to do a couple of things. You'll notice over probably the past several days, you have seen, you know, people doing the year-end reviews. They talk about all the things that happened, whether they were good or whether they were bad. There's a reflection over the past year. So, yeah, reflection's a good thing because there are times that even when we reflect on our mistakes, we think about not making those mistakes in the future. But there are also times when we reflect on the good things that have happened and the good things that have taken place, things that stood out or stood apart, not only in our personal lives, but maybe as a nation as well. So as we come to this particular time of the year, reflection is always a good thing. But I want us to add something else in there. I want us to add the word anticipation. So this time of the year is not just simply about looking over the past year, but it's also about anticipation of the new year. You see, we often sit back and we wonder what the future holds. And today, we want to look at a very powerful promise from God's Word that we find in Jeremiah chapter 29, particularly verse 1. This is a promise that speaks to us of hope. It speaks to us of purpose, as well as a future for each and every one of us. And that's what we really want. So maybe if 2025 was either a good year or a bad year for you, 2026 should bring along some anticipation. We read in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1. This is what it says. It's a very familiar verse to many of us, but it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Let's pray together as we begin our time together today. Father, as we come to you today, again, we're grateful, we're thankful for the way that you have carried us. Lord, we reflect over this past year and we think about the victories as well as the defeats. But Lord, regardless of whether it was a victory or a defeat, the one thing that we will always see in the midst of our circumstances is you right in the middle of them. So Father, today I pray that as we close out the year 2025 and as we anticipate the beginning of a new year, that we will do so with a new zeal towards you. Father, I pray that that you will place within our heart a desire to seek you, to draw close to you, to live in a manner that is in keeping with what your word says your children ought to be. Lord, help us to anticipate a great year in 2026 as you lead us to new victories. So, Father, we ask that you would bless our time. As always, I ask that you would use me as your messenger during this time, that you and you alone truly would be the one lifted up. And Lord, speak to our hearts, draw us close to you as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, so as we look at this particular verse, as always, I like to give you a little bit of context or a little bit of background about what was taking place in this passage. So the book of Jeremiah It was written during a time of great turmoil for the Israelites. They were in exile in Babylon, and they were facing uncertainty as well as despair. You can kind of put yourself in their situation. It seemed like everything was lost. They were none of them were where they were supposed to be or where they wanted to be. Of course, again, they're exiled. They're waiting, and they're sitting there saying, "Well, what's God going to do now? What, you know, what is the next step?" So Jeremiah's message was one of hope, one of reassurance. And isn't that what we want to hear, particularly when we're in the middle of crisis, particularly when we're in the middle of being somewhere that we don't want to be? Don't we want that hope? Don't we want that reassurance that comes through Christ? And it was also something that was reminding them that God had not forgotten about them. And he had a plan, not only for them, but for their restoration. How many times in the middle of our circumstances and situations have we maybe thought we've allowed Satan to get into our head and sit back and say, "Well, you know, God's forgotten you." Maybe you're crying out in prayer over something, and it just seems like you're not getting any answers whatsoever. And Satan likes to whisper in your ear, "Hey, God's not with you. God has forgotten you." So this message from Jeremiah was one that was designed to be of hope and of reassurance, but also a reminder that even though they were in a place they didn't want to be, circumstantial-wise, that God had not forgotten about them. Not only had he not forgotten about them, but there was a plan. There was a plan to restore them. So as we look at our text, you know, God's promise in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1, it's a timeless and it's universal for each and every one of us. This is not just something that was back in the day, as it were. And by the way, let me correct that. I think I said Jeremiah chapter 29:1. I think it's actually Jeremiah 29:11. So if you're looking for it and you're confused, don't worry about it. That's it. So God's promise in Jeremiah 29:11, it's timeless. It wasn't just for the Israelites in that day, and it wasn't just for the Israelites, period. It's for each and every one of us today, in our time, where we live today. It speaks to us today as it did to the Israelites back in their time of exile. It assures us that God has a plan for each one of us. And it's a plan filled with peace and a plan filled with hope. I know that there are times that we find ourselves in despair because of whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation may be. And it can just seem like it's so hopeless. And you wonder at times, where is God? What is going on? Is there a plan? Is there a plan for me? Is there a plan for my life? Let me tell you emphatically, yes, there is. Now, maybe you've had a tough 2025, and you're kind of excited about 2026. And I'll tell you, there's nothing magical about when the clock strikes midnight and we bring in a new year. But for us, it's almost like we have an opportunity to draw a line in the sand and to do what it is that God has told us to do. Remember what he tells us in the New Testament. He says, forgetting the things that are behind us. Folks, we cannot change the past, whether it was good or whether it's bad. You cannot change it. So we need to let go of the things that are behind us, and we need to reach forward for the things that lie ahead. Remember what we said. So for some of us, there's regret in 2025, but I also want you to think about anticipation as you go in to 2026. So these promises that we're receiving from the book of Jeremiah is assuring us that God has a plan for each and every one of us, not just your neighbor, not just the ones that you look at and say, "Man, I wish my life was like theirs. I wish my spiritual life was like theirs." God has a plan for you, and maybe that should excite you. And remember what I said too, not only does he have a plan, it is one that is filled with peace as well as hope. And this plan isn't just for survival, but it's for a very prosperous future. That's what he promises us in his word. Now, let's look at what the word says to us again, the verse that we're dealing with today. You see, when God speaks of thoughts of peace, he refers to his own desire for our well-being and for our wholeness. Now, he also mentions in that text a future and a hope. Now, this is signifying that God sees beyond our current circumstances. And sometimes we have trouble kind of wrapping our brain around that. And the reason why is because often we can't. When we are in the middle of our circumstances and when we are in the middle of these situations, it seems so dark and we can't see beyond that. Folks, you know, we know that God sees beyond us. He knows our beginning. He knows our end. He knows our steps in between, and He has ordered those steps. And we really need to strengthen our faith, and we need to trust Him. If you didn't do that in 2025, I pray that God strengthens your faith as you go in to 2026 and say, you know what? I don't know what lies beyond, but I do know this. I know that God knows what lies beyond this particular circumstances. You know, God sees beyond our current circumstances, and His plans are not according to the Word. And we got to trust His Word. His plans are not to harm us, but to lead us into a life of fulfillment as well as purpose. You know, as I think about this text, I can remember back a couple of months ago, maybe a month and a half ago, in my discipleship group with the men, as we were going through the Old Testament, we came across the passage of Joseph. And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, when it comes down to Joseph, all the things that he went through, now I'm talking about Old Testament Joseph. I'm talking about the one who was his father's favorite son. His brothers didn't like him. You know, he interpreted a dream to his brothers, which was kind of an in-your-face kind of thing, where he says, hey, look, in my dream, you guys are going to serve me. Well, the brothers already were sitting there thinking, hey, Joseph's got some issues here, and yeah, he's rubbing this in our face. So they decided they were going to get rid of him. You know, Reuben spoke up, though, and instead of killing Joseph, they threw him into a pit, basically, and then saw a caravan that was coming down on its way to Egypt, and they turned a buck on him. They sold Joseph into this slavery caravan, and then when Joseph gets down to, Egypt, he is actually purchased by Potiphar's household. He's a very powerful man. And it's so ironic that even along this way, you stop and think about all the things that Joseph went through. Joseph kind of becomes the guy who is the head over Potiphar's household. Well, Potiphar's wife, you know, starts looking at Joseph, and she tries to seduce him, and Joseph does the right thing. You know, he rejects her advances. But yet, you know, she tells the story to her husband, Potiphar, that, you know, Joseph actually tried to seduce her. You know, she put the shoe on the other foot. And then, you know, what could Potiphar do? Next thing you know, Joseph winds up in jail. It says that while he was in jail, he still prospered. You know, I love how the Word keeps saying in this story of Joseph that everything Joseph did prospered because it was at the hand of God. Now, he wasn't in circumstances and situations that he liked or wanted to be in, and many of us are that way in our everyday life's journey. You know, we find ourselves in places that we would prefer not to be in, but are you looking for the hand of God in the midst of those circumstances and situations? So as Joseph's story goes on, he's in prison. He interprets a dream for a cupbearer and a baker that comes true. And the cupbearer goes back to, you know, to Pharaoh's house. And a couple of years later, I believe it's 2 years, you know, after he's released, you know, Pharaoh has a dream, and none of his wise men could interpret the dream. And then the cupbearer says, hey, man, there was this guy that I knew in prison by the name of Joseph, and he interpreted a dream for me and the baker, and everything came out just like his interpretation said that it was. So obviously, Pharaoh sends for Joseph. He tells Joseph his dream, and Joseph interprets the dream for him. He says the dream represents there's going to be 7 years of plenty in the land, and then it's going to be followed by 7 years of great famine. There'll be a drought, there'll be famine. And then Joseph goes on and gives him a solution to it. He says, hey, look, if I were you, and I'm paraphrasing here, he says, if I were you, what I would do is, he said, during that 7 years of great plenty, he said, I would build barns, I would store up all this grain, and everything, so that when the 7 years of famine comes along, there'll be plenty of food for the land. Now, as the story progresses, you know, Pharaoh says, hey, that's a great idea. You're in charge of it. So Joseph went from that particular morning being a prisoner in prison to being the number two in command, you know, over all the land, and he would be eventually over all of the food. So he executes his plan, and just to fast forward a little bit, later on his own family would have to come to him for food, which without they would have died. Now, as we look at that little story of Joseph, was it Joseph's fault that he was his father's favorite son? No. Was it Joseph's fault that his brothers, you know, disliked him? No. Was it Joseph's fault that he was sold into slavery? No. Was it Joseph's fault that he was an attractive man and Potiphar's wife took a liking to him? No. Was it his fault that he was thrown into prison? No. Was it his fault, you know, all along the way? All these things that we see, if there was ever a guy who could sit back and say, boy, I can't wait for this year to end, it would be Joseph. And yet, throughout the scripture, throughout that whole account of Joseph, it says this, everything Joseph did prospered. Why did it prosper? Because he was right smack dab in the center of God's plan and God's will for his life. You know, sometimes we sit back and we want premature deliverance. And I'm just going to ask you, ask God. Say, Lord, I know that what I'm going through is part of your plan. Help me to cooperate with your plan in such a way that I can be usable for you, even in times that I don't particularly like, even in times when things are tough, okay? So what is it? Now, how does that relate to our text that we're talking about today? It's the fact that God has plans for us. He has a future. He doesn't want to harm us. He wants to lead us to a life of fulfillment and a life of purpose, okay? So as we begin to enter this new year of 2026, let us embrace the promise of Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Let us seek God's guidance in discovering and fulfilling each and every one of our own unique purposes as the Lord has prescribed in heaven for us, even before the day that you drew your first breath. Folks, you and I need to trust in His plans. We need to trust that His plans are for our good, even when the path seems so uncertain. When you think about this particular instance of Israel, you know, essentially being scattered, they've been exiled, and things look bad and things look bleak, you know. And for some of you all, I'm preaching to the choir. You're sitting there saying, "Well, you just talked about my year 2025, or at least a segment of it." But yet, God says there's hope, there's joy that comes in walking with Him. So you and I, as we forget, as we put in the past the year 2025, as we step into the new year of 2026, let us live with the assurance that God is with each and every one of us as we've trusted Him, and that He's guiding us toward a future that is filled with hope and prosperity. Now, I have to add something here. I am not preaching prosperity theology. I say that, you know, anytime I get to a segment like this, I always have to add that, because that's not, prosperity theology is not a biblical doctrine. You know, it's about us being so in tune with God that we are asking that what happens here on earth is what He already has prescribed in heaven. That's what the Lord's Prayer says. What does it say? You know, give us our daily bread. Yeah, and He talks about you know, the situation of being able to ask on earth what He has in heaven. Just recite the Lord's Prayer. You'll hear it. You know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, we're asking that God's will be done on earth as prescribed in heaven. Now, this is another message for another day, but I've said this. I still believe with all my heart that there is the perfect will of God, and then there's the permissive will of God. God wants us to function in His perfect will, but when we don't do that, there's often times when we are functioning in His permissive will. We see that throughout the Bible. But like I say, that's a different message for a different day. Maybe we will get to that after we get through with a couple of series that we have planned as we head in to the year of 2026. So as we think about our key verse, as we think about this particular verse that we read in Jeremiah. In this new year, the year that we're getting ready to start into, let us hold on to the promise of Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. God's thoughts towards us are of peace and of hope. He has a plan for each and every one of us, a plan that leads to a prosperous future. You know, as we seek His guidance, may we live with purpose, the purpose that He has placed within us, knowing that our lives are in the hands of a loving and a faithful, and I'm going to add the word powerful, Father, as we consider this. So, you know what? What a great, great time and what a great, great opportunity that we have as we head into a new year to draw that line in the sand. Again, it's not that anything magical happens, but for each and every one of us, it's a new start to forget the things of the past, good and or bad, and to reach and strive for the things that God has planned for us in 2026. Plans of peace, plans of hope, and being about the Master's business. I hope and pray that that will be a journey that you will take as we head in to this new year. Now, before I close our time down, I want to let you know what we've got going on. You know, last week, you know, we talked about Christmas. This week, we talked about heading into a new year. Just before that, we finished up with a very long series where we were talking about the miracles of the Messiah. So we finished up that particular study. Now what we're going to do as we head into a new year is we're actually going to begin a new series. It's not a long series. It's about a 7-week series. And the series is actually entitled Faith Under Fire, Standing Firm in Trials and Temptations, which is something that each and every one of us need to do each and every day, because Satan truly is as a roaring lion roaming about seeking whom he may devour. So let me tell you a little bit about what I want you to do for next week as we head into to this new series. The very first week, I want you to spend this week reading the book of James chapter 1. That's James chapter 1. And the very first sermon in our series, which will be our Wednesday Bible study of next week, I have titled it The Test of Faith out of James chapter 1. We'll be a little bit more specific as we get into that. And most of all of us understand that our faith at times is tested. The question is, are we going to be able to stand firm in the midst of those trials and in the midst of those situations, particularly as we head in to a new year? So next week, James chapter 1, The Test of Faith. And I pray that you will take that time and opportunity to join us as we gather around the Word of God in study. So let me close this out in a word of prayer. And I hope and trust and pray each and every one of us have a great, great new year as 2026 is right on the horizon. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we thank you for your promise of hope and for your promise of a future. And Lord, as we step into a new year, I pray that you're going to help us to trust you and to trust in your plans for our lives. Lord, too many times we want to function in our plans and do things our way. Help us, Lord, to function in your plans as we live our life your way. Lord, I pray that you will guide us to discover and to fulfill our very unique purpose that you have placed us on this earth for. And Lord, I pray that you will fill our hearts with peace and with hope. And Lord, may we walk confidently in your love and in your grace. And Father, we do pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, again, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. It is a pleasure and a joy to pastor Central Baptist Church. Love each and every one of you, and each and every one of you that aren't even members of the church. Thank you for taking that time and trusting us to share God's word with you over the airways, through social media, and the many different methods that God has allowed us to do. And as always, if you happen to be in the Oak Ridge area, I want to extend to you a personal invitation to come and join us for worship services at Central Baptist Church. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you need more information, that can be found on our website that you'll see posted throughout our Bible study on the screen. If it's not there right now, it's www.oakridgecbc.org. We would love to have you come and worship with us in spirit and in truth. We do have other opportunities for discipleship. We have men's and women's small groups. We have the Awana program for the children. We have Sunday school, and we would certainly love to see you. Our service times start at 10:45 on Sunday, with Sunday school starting at 9:30, and then our discipleship groups meet at various times throughout the week as well. So we would love to have you come and be a part of that. So with that, I pray that you will have a very, very happy new year as we look forward to serving our Lord together in the year 2026. God bless. Have a great day. Thank you.